So as you know, this month our theme is joy. So I thought I'd wear my most colourful, joyful shirt. Everyone's been commenting on it. And when I wear it at the hospital, people say it looks like a piece of sunshine and spring just walking in the door. And the Holy Spirit walks in with me as well. But that's okay, they like the shirt. I wanted to wear something bright and colourful because I have to admit that bringing a message on joy this month has not been easy for me. Yeah, it's actually been a really difficult 4 months this year already, and there's been a lot of trauma in Hawke's Bay. There's been a lot of people that are still displaced, still dealing with the cyclone and the flooding. It's been huge. We're still hearing stories in the hospital of people that are affected by the floods and the trauma. There's been a lot of trauma in our hospital. The hospital always full. COVID numbers are really low, which is really good, but the hospital is always full. There's a lot of people there that are just really struggling with life. In my team, even my chaplaincy team, there's been some things happening and there's things for us to deal with as well. And for me personally, and for this church. You know, we've lost our lovely friends, Brandon and Terry, during this last 4 months. Ashley's lost his mum over the last couple of weeks. It's been really hard. There's been a couple of other people in my life that I've walked a journey with that have also died, gone to be with the Lord. And that gives us some joy as well. But it's been really hard. And it's been really busy in my life. Really busy. Stuff happening in my family as well. So, you know, preaching on joy has made me really have to dig in deep. And I sent a text message to Kay. So she's in the Philippines at the moment. And then she'll be back for a couple of weeks in Auckland just supporting her sister whose husband died just before Kay went to the Philippines. And then she'll be going to Israel. So we won't see her for a few weeks. But we text a lot and others do as well. And I texted her last week and I said to her that I was not feeling much joy lately. It's going to be really hard to preach on this. And she doesn't let you off at all. She says, this is her words, that's just when you need to tap into the joy of the Lord. It's like, great, thank you. Okay, so here we go. So I've had to do some excavating. I've had to dig deep and get rid of all that dirt of the things that have been happening in my life and push aside, you know, the busyness, the sorrow, the trauma that's been all around me and dig deep down into this week and find that well where I can tap into that joy again. So this message is really for me, but it's for you as well. It really speaks to me, but it's for all of us. And I know it's not new to any of us, and we've been speaking about joy all this month, but it has, I needed to remind myself as well, it has nothing, it depends on nothing that's happening in our lives. Joy does not come from everything going well, everything going smooth sailing, everything going right in our lives, that's not joy. No curveballs thrown in there. Joy doesn't come from that. Joy is so much deeper. It has nothing to do with our circumstances, but everything to do with God. And I know I don't need to remind you about that. Well, maybe sometimes we do need to be reminded about that, because I did as well. You know, joy was a common theme in Christ's teachings. Whenever you read the Bible, you'll see joy all through it. There's a beautiful chapter in John, chapter 17, and I'm going to ask Kenzie if she'll put it up on the screen. So I don't want to read the whole thing, but I just do want to refer to it. So this entire chapter is Jesus' prayer. In the first 5 verses, he prays for himself. In verses 6 to 19, he prays for his disciples. And in verse 20 onwards, he prays for future believers. The setting is the night Jesus is betrayed by Judas. The night Jesus was betrayed and handed over to all the religious authorities. And here he is, praying for himself, but also praying for his disciples and praying for future believers. Let's just let that sink in for a moment. Future believers, that includes you and me. Jesus was already praying for us. Then in verse 13, We can go down to that part. It says, I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. Jesus had a life filled with joy. Yes, he was known as a man acquainted with sorrows and grief, as we know in Isaiah 53, but he had a life full of joy. And I remember from Pastor Kay's message that the Israelites, they had lots of parties. They had lots of times of celebration. They had, weddings were a great time of celebration. They had feasts all throughout the year. They had lots of times of joy. And Jesus would have been part of that. He would have grown up with that. He would have still, as an adult, and gathering all his disciples around him, he would have still been part of those celebrations. I mean, we know that story, when his first miracle, when he was at a wedding, and wedding party had run out of the wine, and his mother asked him for a miracle. And he turned all this water into wine. It was the best wine anyone had ever tasted. That's what Jesus does. He only does the best. But Jesus, his life was full of joy because he was doing the will of God. And that's our secret today as well. He could speak of my joy. If he did not, then this prayer would make no sense at all. There was a joy and satisfaction in the life of Jesus that surpassed the joy of any other who ever lived. I found these little quotes there as I was doing some study for this, so I'm going to read them. These are not my words, so I've copied them. His joy was firmly and deeply planted in unbroken fellowship with God, his Father. His joy was the fruit of true faith and confidence in his Father. His joy came from seeing the great things God had done. His joy was never diminished by his own sin. His joy was never decreased by deception. His joy was never lessened by allowing even the smallest foothold to the devil. If Jesus was so concerned for joy among his disciples that he prayed for it, we can know that he is also concerned that we have joy. God's purpose is to multiply the joy in our lives, not to subtract it, not to take away. The world, the flesh, the devil, all those things that are negative will tell us something different, but God wants joy fulfilled in our lives. And that's the title of my message, if anyone wants to know, Joy Fulfilled. I've been enjoying watching this series called The Chosen. I don't know if anyone else has been watching it. And it's about Jesus at the start of his ministry. And he is gathering all his disciples around him. And they do some background stories to the different disciples and the different people that come into his life. And it's wonderful. It's a free series you can watch if you just search The Chosen. And there's that time that Peter, before he was called to be a disciple, he was out fishing all night and he didn't catch anything and he was in serious trouble with the tax collectors. And if he didn't catch anything that night, he was more than likely going to prison. And Jesus had just been on the shore and had finished preaching to some people. And he said to Peter, put your net out for a catch. And you probably remember Peter's words, we've been fishing all night and we've caught nothing. And in this the series, Jesus just looks at him. And then Peter looks back. And Jesus just keeps looking at him. And he says, right, at your word, I'll put the net down. And there's this miraculous catch happens. All these fish just come from nowhere. And Jesus is on the shore just laughing his head off. He's just laughing. He's just so excited to see what God is doing. You can see the joy in his life. And then Peter and Andrew call the others over, you know, help, come and help us, this net's going to break, there's too many fish. They get them all into the boat and they're just all laughing so much. And they realize who Jesus is. And he calls them, Peter and Andrew, John and James, follow me. Come and be catchers of men. That's pretty amazing. So I can't wait till Kay gets back and we can get into season three, because, you know, we've sort of paused a little bit at the moment. So it's a wonderful series. Just that joy, the joy that we see of Jesus. He's laughing there on the beach. And I would say there was never a dull moment for those disciples following Jesus, eh? Never a dull moment. There was always something about to happen. And that's in our lives as well. There's never a dull moment following Jesus. Anyone that says they're bored being a Christian, they haven't quite grasped yet who Jesus is. It's exciting. There's lots of joy. There's lots of things happening. But that's the key to having joy fulfilled in our lives, is that intimate contact with Jesus, really getting to know him. When we do, we will experience God's special care and protection, and see the victory God brings even when things look like they're going to custard. See, ultimate joy comes from Christ dwelling in us. Joy comes from the salvation we've received. Joy comes from the forgiveness we've received. And joy comes from a consistent relationship with Christ. And I just want us to briefly look at those three things at the moment. So joy comes from the salvation we have received. Even the word Jesus means the Lord saves. Jesus came to earth to save us, because we can't save ourselves. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves. No matter how good we are, we cannot get rid of the sinful nature that is in each of us. Only Jesus can do it. And Jesus didn't come to help us save ourselves. He came to be our Savior. He took on all those limitations of being a human here on earth so he could live and die for the salvation of whoever believes in him. John 6:39 are these words recorded. Jesus said, and these are his words, and this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. Jesus is saying he will not lose even one person who belongs to him. So anyone who makes a sincere commitment to God, who believes in Jesus as their Saviour, and that acknowledge that he died on the cross for each one of us, for our sin, we also get God's promise of eternal life. That's a great reason to have joy in our lives. It's all about simple faith. We simply believe that Jesus is the only way we can get our lives right with God. It's good news. It's really good news. And with that comes forgiveness of our sin. That's our second point. Forgiveness is only found through Jesus Christ. Now, before I became a Christian, and maybe even sometimes now, and you might relate to this, it was hard for me to forgive people sometimes. Sometimes it's a real process. You've got to do it over and over again. It's hard to forgive someone who's hurt you, and there's lots of ways people can hurt us. I can only forgive people now because I know how much God has forgiven me. He's forgiven all my sin, past, present, and future. And he's done the same for you. He doesn't hold anything against us. And this is something that a lot of people struggle with. They keep remembering all the things they've done wrong in their lives. But see, once you've confessed and given it to God and your life belongs to him, he doesn't remember anymore. He doesn't bring it up. He doesn't keep reminding you about how bad you were. That's not God. That'll be the old enemy trying to do that, bring it up, and you can get rid of that in your life. But no, God doesn't. He says he will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. That's for us as well. That's quoted in Jeremiah, and in the book of Hebrews, it's written again twice to remind their listeners then and also us today. We have to understand God doesn't remember all the stuff we've done from the past when we truly asked to be forgiven. So important to remember that. And that's another great reason for joy in our lives. Amen. And the third one is a consistent relationship with Christ. A consistent relationship with Christ. You know, Jesus gave us a very good picture of how we can live like that, to have that consistent relationship. And we're going to have a look in John chapter 15. And I'm going to read some of that scripture for you. It's quite a bit, so yeah, hope you don't get too lost. But this is John chapter 15, it's the first 17 verses. And Jesus teaches us about the vine and the branches. And you probably are familiar with this. So Jesus' words here: I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it'll be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. And this is the key: remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and it withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Wow. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. And he says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. And the last verse says, this is my command, love each other. Aren't they amazing words? Jesus was speaking these words to his disciples in the upper room after the Last Supper, the night that he knew he was going to be handed over to the soldiers, when he knew he was going to be betrayed. He used the picture of the vine because there were lots of grapevines in ancient Israel. Also, there was a large golden vine set as a prominent decoration in front of the temple. And the vine was a recognized symbol of the Messiah. The vine and the branch, they show us how dependent we need to be on each other and on God. Christ is the vine, God the gardener, who cares for the branches to make them fruitful. And the branches are all of us who are followers of Christ. As Jesus was going to leave his disciples, it was an important lesson for them to learn. He would remain united to them and they to him. As surely as branches are connected to the main vine, it was a mutual relationship. But it's also a choice we make. We choose to remain in Christ. We choose to remain in that vine and be one of those branches planted there. We choose to live our lives for him. And we do that by following him, by listening to him, by obeying him, by accepting his authority, bringing everything to him in prayer, and we don't give up. There's such a lot in these verses, we're never going to unpack it all this morning, but I really just wanted to bring out a couple of things that we've just mentioned. Jesus talks about remaining in his love. We are to love each other as much as Christ loves us. And he loves us enough that he gave his life for us. And then there was those beautiful words in verse 11. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. So the joy of Jesus isn't what we usually expect in this world. It's nothing to do with happiness or being excited about something. And it's not about having a very easy life where everything goes well. It's the exhilaration of being right with God, that there's no other way we can be right with God except through Jesus. And we can have that joy, we can have his joy, and have it as an abiding presence, something that remains with us always. Doesn't matter what's happening in our lives, we've got that joy. I'm sure when Jesus said these words to his disciples, they didn't ask him what he meant. Sometimes they queried Jesus, like, what did you actually mean by that? They did not look at each other confused. To them, it would have seemed entirely natural that Jesus should make a reference to his gladness, that joy. And I'm sure that the joy of Christ was something they were perfectly familiar with as they were following him. When I was just working on this, it reminded me of another scripture in Luke 6. It says, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. We often think about that as money and giving and that sort of thing. But it can also be about forgiveness and not judging others and love and joy. A good measure of joy, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. And that gave me such a lot of peace when I was preparing this message. I just love it. Those words this morning in the song, Jesus, I need you, just showed how much we need to rely on God. And that goes really well with that, that idea of the vine and the branches. That we need to be in that mutual relationship. Jesus, I need you. Every moment, I need you. We can't do this life on our own. We can't. We need Jesus every single moment of every single day. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Those words were written to the Philippians by a man who was in prison, telling the church to rejoice. Those were written by Paul while he was in prison. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Paul's attitude teaches us an important lesson, which is what we said right from the start. Our inner attitudes, that joy does not have to reflect our outer circumstances. What happens on the outside doesn't have to affect what's on the inside. Paul was full of joy because he knew that no matter what happened to him, he was safe with Christ. Several times in this letter, Paul urged the Philippians to be joyful, probably because they needed to hear it, just as we do today. So I think I was meant to preach today on joy, because I needed to hear it again. I needed to be reminded that no matter what happens around me or to me, Jesus Christ is with me. And our joy is complete. It is fulfilled when we remember what he has done for us, when we remember that salvation, the forgiveness of our sins, and just that being connected to him. I'm sure there is a lot of joy in heaven as well, as the believers that have all gone before us are worshiping God and enjoying every single moment of their time with him. I can't wait. But our challenge here on earth, before we get to that place, our challenge here is to remember the joy that Jesus has given us, and that his joy is fulfilled in us because we belong to him. We belong to him. We have been on his mind and in his prayers since the world began. Jesus was praying for us the night he was betrayed and about to die. And he's in heaven interceding for us still. We are truly blessed people. We need to remember that. Remember the joy we have in our lives. Don't let anything take that joy away from you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, our Lord, our Saviour, I'm so thankful for the joy that you've placed in our lives. It doesn't matter what's happening around us, Lord. Your joy is right there inside us because of who you are, because of what you've done. And we accept that. We accept your joy. We accept your salvation and your forgiveness, and we accept you into our lives. Thank you, Lord, that joy can bubble out of us at any time. And even when we might be facing something that is really difficult, your joy is right there because we know the bigger picture. We know the bigger picture, Lord. We know that you are right here with us. You will help us through everything we're going through. You'll walk beside us. You're behind us. You're in front of us. You're all around us. I thank you, Lord, that we can remember that today. Thank you, Father, for every person that you have called, every person that has accepted you. And we belong to you, Lord. We belong to you and no one else. Thank you, Father, that we're safe in you. Lord, I thank you for this month of looking at and speaking about joy and how it is such an important part of our everyday lives. May we just remember always your joy that is in us and our joy that is in you. I thank you for the food that we're about to have together, Lord. Thank you for those that have been working hard in the kitchen. And Lord, I thank you for their joy as they serve, because that is also part of it as well. May you bless us as we come and as we go, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you care about us so, so deeply. We thank you for all these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.